You got a booger picket, sipping on the 40. You know what makes me horny. All right, first question. Will you guys introduce yourselves and tell me about Delta Bravo Urban Exploration Team?
All right, I'm Danny Boy, and also we got Knocko Nolan's on the line, and we started out. It started out as a hobby. I mean, we kind of met each other off of Facebook, and you know, we liked the same kind of stuff, but we didn't realize we were going to start the Delta Bravo thing until we started hanging out a little bit more. When we met in person, we met at we went to see Kenneth Anger.
Mm-hmm.
Exhibition they were having down at MoCA. So we went and met, and we realized we had a lot of similar interests. And Knock was actually a detective in L.A., so that was pretty interesting as well. You know, me with my rap background and hip-hop background, mm-hmm. and with his law enforcement background. And we just started taking rides. I mean, we started going, hey, let's hang out. And we started looking around, you know, Los Angeles for, you know, true crime locations, and hey, this was filmed there, and did you know this, you know, the Doors did this over here, and it kind of progressed, you know, and we started, you know, going online and finding good photos that we liked, and, you know, going where was it taken, and how can we, you know, suss it out, how can we find out where it was, and we would get our little printouts and our files together, and we would just take drives throughout the week when he had some free time, and when I had some free time, and we started posting them to our personal pages, and we started getting a lot of response. So we were like, hey, let's just make a page. And so me being the, you know, the hip-hop marketing branding guy, I thought, well, let's brand it. Let's call it the Delta Bravo, because it sounds much better than the Knocko Nolan Exploration Team.
And, you know, Delta Bravo was, you know, it was a goof at first. We didn't think, you know, we thought people would be interested in it, but we didn't know how many. And I think, you know, and it just one thing turned into another, and we became like a, you know, like a brand of people. We've got about 10 of us total now, and people in different parts of the planet, you know, in Chicago, Brooklyn, New Jersey,
London,
and Paris. So,
yeah. And was this something, this is something you guys were into before you met each other, exploring and stuff like that?
Right.
Sure. I think every kid, you know, everybody, man, woman, child, when we grow up, you know, especially if you're coming from our generation, I'm 45, Knocko's 40. You know, I grew up where if you wanted some entertainment, you had to go outside to find that. You couldn't go on the Xbox or, you know, on demand television, and all that shit is new. So,
yeah, we had to jump on a BMX bike or jump on the subway and then go. I mean,
yeah, go explore. So, I mean, that's the kind of, you know, we like the culture, you know. We like pop culture, and we like all that stuff, and we're trying to see what's left of it. So, yeah, I mean, I think that's why everybody else has been so receptive to it, is because it rekindles their memories and of a better time, you know.
Right. It seems like LA has a never ending list of places that you can find too.
It does. Any big city does. You know, I know we have the upper hand as far as LA because of the, you know, it's a hub. You know, people from all over the planet have been constantly coming here for 100 years, and there's all kinds of stuff that happened. I mean, but any big city,
right.
New York, Austin, Chicago was actually an eye-opener for me because, you know, I only thought of a little bit of Al Capone stuff and a few John Hughes movies, but there's so much history there, it's retarded. And you can find it, if you're looking for it, you can find it just about everywhere. But yeah, the scale is a shift, you know.
Right.
And we have kind of a little bit of an upper hand due to the weather. I mean, it's not like Chicago or New York where we're snowed in and you're like, Jesus, I don't want to go out tonight. You know, it's freezing out. I mean, L.A., it's sunshine every day. It's good for photographs. It's good for driving. And, you know, so we have a little bit of advantage on that one.
What are some of the sites that you guys feel like you really want to hit that you haven't been able to get to yet?
Wow, all of them. All of them. Well, for me, the number one thing that pops up into my mind right now that's on my list is the pool scene from Jaws. There was a scene where it's supposed to be in the ocean where a character named Ben Gardner pops out of the bottom of a boat. He's a dead body. And I think it's Richard Dreyfuss, the scuba diver. And that was actually staged in a small little pool at, like, the cinematographer's house. You know, they had it like an add-on scene, yeah. So, I mean, it kind of just trips me out that something that happened and I was supposed to be up in Martha's Vineyard with practically in our backyard and here in the valley. So I definitely want to go check that out and check out the unseen. Actually, in that same house is where they edited the movie as well. And they have the owners currently have some of the machines that they used back in the 70s. So I'd like to get into that and talk to the people there as well. So that's number one on my list right now.
For me, it's a pool as well, but it's the Fast Times at Ridgemont High pool, the one where Theodore Cage shows her tits.
Oh yeah.
And we know where the pool is, but we just don't want to just disturb the occupants of the house. And so we got all our ducks in a row. And prior to, for the last year, we've had our ducks in a row. I think we just kind of were waiting for summer. But I'd like to not only go there, I'd like to actually jump in the pool, maybe throw a pool party. Who knows? You know what I mean? I'm trying to take it to the next level. But the Fast Times at Ridgemont High pool, the Hamilton's house, that would be the number one for me. But also, as we've done so many locations, it's almost like I want to go back and redo a lot of the great ones because the first time we did them with the phone and limited time and. You know what I mean? I'd like to really go back and, you know what I mean? And bring a proper camera and spend some time and knock on some doors and talk to people where at first we were kind of really just trying to do, like, numbers. You know what I mean?
Right. Oh, yeah. What have there been some sites that you've, like, tried really hard to find but you just can't track down no matter what?
Yes. I'm just trying to think which ones. Do you have any off the top, Knock?
I don't know. We've been pretty successful, thank God. But, there's always a one or two elusive ones that, we just knocked one down off the list with the State of Grace movie with Sean Penn and Gary Oldman. That was eluding us forever. And
That was another
cohort of ours that has a similar site. Knocked it out of the park for us when we hit that one.
There's very few things that like stones that remain unturned, and that's also what helped us, do the thing that we do. Is we're living in a unique age where you can kind of access all the libraries of the planet on Google. You know what I mean?
Right.
And all the blogs and all the podcasts and everybody has a piece of the puzzle, and you just got to kind of scour around for it. But most of the stuff we've been able to either find online. Or just by talking to people online who are involved with the project, it's been a big help. So, the key to this thing for us is just being able to make those connections online. I think 20 years ago, this would have been a real tough hobby,
Oh, yeah. I mean, how would you...
Like microfilm and microfish and shit like that. doing Dexter systems and shit like that. I mean, it's way too smart. It's way over my head at that level, and I wouldn't have been into it because it would have been just the amount of effort versus the reward would have sucked. But right now, when it's a great time because you don't really have to. I mean, you just got to have a good imagination.
Right.
That's good. It's very inclusive. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. I was reading an interview with you guys from a month or two ago, and it was talking about you guys going out and exploring Spawn Ranch. And I did that once, too, just with a friend, maybe 6 or 7 years ago. But what was your experience like out there?
Fantastic. I mean, we've both been out there on several occasions, maybe 10 times now.
Mm-hmm.
And, it's beautiful out there. What makes it beautiful, it's just, Callum, you've been, so I've filmed a few videos out there, and we've done interviews out there, and it's beautiful. It's just weird that the history, that it just has that kind of history, and I think that's also what makes it so interesting. But I didn't have any bad experiences. All the places we went that were haunted or had, whatever,
traumatic
past. Yeah, traumatic. It's always the most serene places for the most part. The only creepy place we ever really been was like the murder mansion in Los Feliz. I don't know if you're aware of that place.
What happened at
that
place?
That?
No, tell me about that.
In a nutshell, a doctor killed his wife, tried to kill his daughter. Daughter got away. He hit her in the head with a hammer mad times. The two boys woke up, and I guess he didn't have anything against the boys, so he told them to go back to sleep. They were having a nightmare.
Mm-hmm.
She summons the police. The police come back, and by that time, he's already drinking some mercury and some other shit that he mixed up and killed himself. So
that would have been a weird story, but the it gets weirder that they just kind of like, it's about a $3 million house. It's right below the Ennis house from Blade Runner.
Okay.
It's in a part of Los Feliz that's it's prime real estate. And this beautiful mansion, and they just kind of like closed it up and left it the way it is. The TV's still there from the 50s. The furniture's still there. The presents that she was wrapping for Christmas are still there.
Whoa.
And somebody pays taxes on it. Somebody owns it. We went on the daytime. We went at nighttime. We've looked in the place. There's something weird about it. Why? The bigger question is, why would you? How could someone afford to buy that place and then just put it on ice?
Right.
You know? And just and then not like take all the shit out of it, and it's just it's like a set from a movie that's just been like, you know, closed off for
left behind,
you know, 50 years. It's weird. Yeah, so and it just get a weird vibe there. But it's that going back to Spawn, I know I'm sure Malcolm feels the same. We went to Spawn many times. We went to the Death Valley.
Oh, cool.
To the Barker Ranch. We've been to all those Manson's house and all those those places are usually like calm, serene, beautiful places. It had nothing like that happen. You would think, wow, it's same as cemeteries, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I never really get skeeved out there. I always get a good vibe. It's like, you know?
Did either of you guys ever make it into the house on Cielo Drive before it was where Sharon Tate lived? Okay.
I wish.
No, that was 1996, 1997. I think that got torn down, right?
Yeah. No, I just thought that would always be a really crazy place to actually get.
Yeah, that would have been a crazy one. I know that Trent Reznor did, though.
Well, did he own it, or did he just record there?
He recorded there, but he took the door, the one where they were pigs and blood.
Yeah.
That door was never replaced. It was painted over, and he took it when he left. So.
And that door is in New Orleans, right?
I'm sure it is, yeah.
I'm going to email you guys a picture tonight, because I think I found it in New Orleans, and you can tell me what you think.
Yeah, I'm sure it is.
But
you're from that area, from the south, so, I mean, probably do something with it.
One of the things that you seem to have an obsession, and I do too, with Fast Times, and you guys recently got a yearbook from the original class that it's, like, based on, right?
Yeah, I bought the yearbook online. It started out, you want $800 for it. It was way too rich for my blood. And the actual yearbook, if I'm not mistaken, I don't think I am. It's on yearbooks.com. So if you subscribe to that, you can actually see it.
Mm-hmm.
But they make it really hard to, like, look at it. I wanted the actual, so I found it online. I ended up buying it for
$300.
Uh-huh. He was asking for it. We offered him $300. He took it. He said we'd take a penny less. Love it. It hasn't arrived yet. I can't wait to see it. But I've actually drove with my missus all the way down to San Diego on a Sunday, went on the property, you know, got on the school was basically an open campus,
mm-hmm.
walked the campus. I've read the book, and it's like being on a set. It's surreal. I mean, he captured it so well. And it's one of those incredible stories. You could never put a 22-year-old writer on campus at a school. It would be so political, you could never make that happen. But in 78, you could still do that kind of shit. He captured that era so well. I'm fascinated with every aspect of Fast Times at Ridgemont High.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, to the point that we even inquired about trying to get to night school and get our GED up in that piece. But it didn't work out.
What about another one you guys seem to post about a lot is Last American Virgin?
That was late.
I feel like that one flew under the radar.
It did. And See, why I post those so much is that I came to L.A. from New York and at that era. I came in the late 70s.
Mm-hmm.
So when all that stuff was going on, those movies, they were about where I was living.
Right.
I was living in the San Fernando Valley in the late 70s, early 80s. So it was like a phenomenon. Back east kept asking, what's it like to live in San Fernando Valley just since you served? Do you have a skateboard? You know, that was all.
And yeah, so, do the girls really talk like that?
Right. And it was, you know, it was a weird time that, like I said, it's gone now. So those movies represent what it was like, even though you wrote about San Diego, they felt it was best fitting San Fernando Valley. And so being friends with Robert Romanus now, you know, Mike Damone,
mm-hmm.
and, what's her name? Deborah Foreman from Valley Girl.
Yeah.
You know, it's surreal. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's really cool.
It's surreal because those are characters we grew up
tripping out on. So we've been able to not only interview them, and that's kind of what's great about what we do, you know, with our internet television show or whatever. We've been able to now meet those people and kind of, you know, get our fan on, but also, like, debrief them and find out little tidbits, you know. He auditioned 12 times before he got that part, and then the last time he was like, fuck this, I'm not going to do it anymore. And that's when they gave it to him, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Or Deborah Foreman, they were on the fence about her, and her agent said, hey, listen, she's got another movie in the bag right now for Young Woman in Love or Young Woman in Paris. They made up the name. And they were like, we better lock her down then if she's already, okay, we'll take her. Whereas those little things you don't hear, you know, and so you get even deeper insight into it. And we just, you know, the more we talk to people, the more you hear these, you know, these little stories, and just the story never ends in a sense, you know.
Right. So
yeah,
Go ahead.
I said I was going to say I liken it to you know, it's like kind of when you get a DVD and you get a movie and it just doesn't have any special features on it. You're like, fuck, the movie's great, but I want to know about the behind the scenes. I want to know about the deleted stuff. I want the director's commentary.
Right.
You know, those are the type of granular details that we're extracting from these people. You know,
but the only difference is, and we'll interject, is that, you know, the DVD thing, that's like the system telling you. When I get Mike DeMone on the side, I want to know, hey, did you smash old girl? You know, I won't say which one. I'll ask questions off camera to really get down and dirty. You know what I mean? Like, hey, did you guys get along? I mean, we found out from just the Breakfast Club thing that the dude had dance with a couple of dudes, and you know, you hear stuff that you won't hear even on the bonus DVD, which
right.
I get what he's saying, and I like the bonus DVD as well, but we're taking it to the extra bonus round because we're able to now interact with these people. You know, they like what we do, we like what they do, and then we can really be like, hey, oh, by the way, and you can ask those questions that you always wondered. So, you know, how we turn exploration into this has been pretty crazy, you know?
And Robert Romanos owns a coffee shop now, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's cool.
He does.
You guys go up there and hang out.
Bob's Espresso Bar. We do. Whenever we're in the valley, we try to hit it off, and it's always a good hang. We actually just threw an event there for my birthday party. We did a live broadcast from there. We did some artwork. We had a Fast Times at Ridgemont High art retrospective, and we interviewed him, and I had a few of the Bad News Bears. The Bad News Bears is another one. You know, filmed in the valley. A lot of local kids in there. Coming of age movie, the field, there's a lot of the locations that still exist. They did three movies. We were able to meet all those guys for the most part, minus Kelly Leak. And, you know, it's just one of those things to be friends with people now and to be like, wow, I grew up watching these guys. And it's just from another planet. And now, you know, you got them on speed dial. Hey, man, you want to go get a slice or you want to go get a coffee or, you know?
Mm-hmm. So, what other movies do you lump in there, like in that 80s Valley thing? Like Karate Kid, would that be one of them then?
More for Naco would be the name.
Yeah.
Once, hey, listen, I'm such an Outsiders fan. The Outsiders is the one that really started it off for me.
Yeah.
And I can't see Ralph Macchio getting his ass kicked, so I always, he's going to be Johnny forever for me. I refuse to. So we've done some Karate Kid ones, but I'm just having a hoot. But, you know, Rumblefish, any Jesse Hinton, any Irish movie from the 90s, like State of Grace, that was when we were trying to break down. We've done Godfather. We've done, you know, you name it. All the classics. Midnight Cowboy, the bridge scene when they're walking over, or Taxi Driver, or you know, all the top 100 movies that you have in your thing. If you know 100 movies to see before you die, we've probably either done them or on the list, or have pieces of them that we've taken care of, or you know.
Right. And now, Naco, like you're a detective. So, were you always into crime even before that became your profession?
Yeah, I mean, that was the first true crime book I ever read that I can remember was Helter Skelter, and I did a fifth-grade book report on it, believe it or not.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, for some reason, I just gravitated towards true crime, and that whole thing, you know, lit me up on the California crime scene, which is very different from the East Coast where me and Danny grew up in New York City. Yeah, that was
For the record, he was at NYPD as well, so he's been on both sides of the, you know, coast to coast.
Okay.
Crime-wise, you see it behind the scenes, so. Yeah, exactly. So
that's
that
cool.
That lit my fuse in two directions, was the whole West Coast thing and how it got integrated within the rock scene, which is huge music fan. So, I mean, it touched upon a lot of areas that, you know, that influenced my life, you know, music, crime, movie-centric side, movies, so it all encompasses it all in one genre.
Cool.
Yeah, one specific subject.
So what are you guys' plans moving forward? Just keep going at it strong?
No, I mean, we're going to keep going at it strong, but we're this close to getting a television show. Mm. We're trying to try to reach better numbers. I mean, Facebook is great, but because of the algorithm now, they want you to pay. So getting new fans is, like, almost impossible if you ain't paying, And we're a little bit below 6,000 people, but I see four sites that have 250,000 on nothing. You know, they did it when it was easy to get fans, when they stopped. Now, Facebook is just so one-dimensional, and then we do a television show, which is cool, but we need to get on mainstream TV, you know what I mean? And the truth is, from my point of view, this might be different. I know Knuckle shares it, but I have a different, it's more important to me because of my sobriety and, being able to just help show people, not only for sobriety reasons, but for me, it's kind of like I'm living my dream, but I'm also showing other people, hey, man, you don't need Puff Daddy money to make this happen. Really, if you got access to the internet at the library and you got a bus pass, you can kind of do what we're doing for the most part. You can totally do what we're doing. If you have an iPhone, even better. Then you got a GPS, a video camera, a way to broadcast what you're doing. And it's cool, and it doesn't cost any money. In an economy like this and with, the state of the world that it is right now, it's kind of, we're at that weird rollover point where we're losing a lot of stuff.
Right.
There's a lot of businesses that are getting turned over, a lot of things are getting redeveloped, we're losing a lot of our history for our age group, from anywhere from somebody who's 30 to 50 or whatever the target, the audience of us is, whatever that is, we're starting to lose that. So if you like that kind of stuff, now's the time to get out and see it. And I hope at the end of the day, I always say I want to make money doing this, but if I never make a penny, I'm already overpaid. That's the dead truth. I'm already so overpaid because I've seen it all.
Yeah.
And met amazing people, including Knuckle. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
We met on the internet. It's like my best friend, no Bruno. So it's nice.
That's cool. Well, thanks a lot for taking the time to do the interview tonight. I'm also gonna send you some Midwestern stuff. I know you guys take some.
Yes, we do.
I know you take submissions from different people, so I'll send you some stuff if you want to use it. So
that'd be great. Of course. And when you come to Cali, look us up, and we'll take you on. We'll take you on a mission. We'll hit it. We'll show you some of our spots. You know what I mean? We'll take you to that murder mansion. That's a bet. You know what I mean?
Dude,
that's
I would love that.
We'll trip it out. All right, my man.
Absolutely.
All right, guys. Thanks again.
You take care. All right.
Even if I did it, I got 100 homeboys to say I didn't hit it. My name's Everlast, I got the funky rhymes. I make more papers than the LA Times. I don't do lines, but I put blunts. I don't rock fronts, but I stuff stunts. Fill them to the rim like a cup of coffee. If you don't know me, hold me back above me. Cause I ain't saucy, I fly your head. You wind up dead, you made your bet. Now you gotta lie in it, don't bother trying it. Take my advice, homeboy, think twice. Before you step up, step back, or catch a smack. Guess who's back? Some buttercups from Reese's. I come in peace, but you'll leave in pieces. That's
how I'm living, that's how it goes. Every day I'm sleeping, every night I'm doing shows. Always getting hoes when there's hoes to get got. Always wear my hat so I never need a shot. Always drink a beer before I ride a rhyme. Man, if I have to drive, I avoid the one time. Stay between the lines and I won't get pulled over. I don't need luck cause I got a four-leaf clover. Yeah, I'm Irish, word to the motherland. But on the other hand, I love America, apple pie, mom and all that. My pockets stay fat, step the fuck back. Play me close and you catch a mean dose of my fist. Homeboy, you get dissed. Guess who's back? Guess who's back?